Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Thank you, Dan. I just want to say that I don't know where I would be, if I'd even be alive, if it weren't for the mentors in my life. There's a clear biblical standard of having a mentor. Not having to do this alone. Coming alongside those that are further around down the path than you are. And learning things the easy way if possible, instead of the hard way. And a clear impartation from those who have similar gifting and calling, and getting revelation through the rhema word of God from others who have already learned maybe some of the things that God would have you learn. I just want to say that I've had a great time studying the Apostle Paul today. He wrote 13 of the epistles, so we do know a lot about it. But I just thought I would. It's one of my assignments. And my name, by the way, is Carlotta Paulette. So actually, my name means courageous little preacher. That's what Paul meant, little preacher. And so I'm courageous little preacher. Little did my Baptist mother know that she was naming me in a way that would go with my calling to preach, even as a woman. But enough said on that. Let's pray. Let's pray for a real impartation tonight about what it is to mentor and to be mentored and what it is to take a stand while imparting the truth, while ministering, to take its truth and error in the many, many things that we know about Paul. Apostle Paul. Father, we just thank you. Oh, we just thank you that you gave your rhema word to those that you called to write the Bible. Where would we be if we didn't have that? And I really don't know how the people before us made it without the whole Bible, but we just thank you, thank you, thank you for that. We thank you for the stories of their lives, of the issues that they had to deal with, their ups and downs, their challenges, and the impartation of courage and strength that we get from reading them, that we can know how to rightly divide the word, but also how to troubleshoot from these letters, how to maybe adjust our personality style and get in less trouble. It's one thing I could learn from Paul. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your spirit of wisdom and counsel and understanding and power. Fear of the Lord. And we use our spiritual power and authority to cancel every assignment against this program, against us, our families, anything and anybody we care about. We cancel every hex, spell, curse, or incantation. We cancel every familiar spirit on assignment or astral projected spirit or anything else that would come against us. And our ability to receive from you, Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We thank you for words of wisdom and knowledge and direction and guidance that you'll give us even as we discuss this tonight. Now, Lord, I thank you for the things that the callers are going to contribute, because I certainly could never, never, even if I tried really hard, cover all the things, all the insights that Paul shares with us in these writings. But we thank you for them and for all that he went through in order to provide them for us. Wow, over 20 years he was writing these things down. So we thank you, Lord. Amen. And I just want to encourage each of you to call a friend email a friend and invite them to listen tonight, because I think they'll be inspired. You know, one thing we get from reading the Bible is how real these other human beings were. You know, they weren't superhero figures, at least not in the beginning. They had to learn just like we do. Even Jesus learned, it says, he grew up in stature. Amen. Amen. Well, can you imagine what your life would be like if God suddenly chose Apostle Paul to be your mentor? What would life have been like for you if, say, you were there with Prophet Ananias, and he gets this word of knowledge that he's to go to the street called Straight, and he's supposed to minister to Saul, who is known to be the number one Christian hater of the generation, a persecutor. He's a dominant, driven, aggressive personality. There's nothing about him that would make you want to go to any place that he's staying, especially alone. And would you have hoped, at the very least, to be able to deliver your prophetic word and then run for your life? But not only did God have Ananias go to him, prophesy to him, lay hands on him, and command or pray for his healing, but he also had him stay there and mentor him some. So that's where it all starts. It all starts with a little prophet who is willing to risk everything he had and all that he was to minister to Paul. Would you have hoped that God would choose someone else? We're talking about open doors this year. Would you have hoped that there was another way? Or would you be glad for the open door? Wow. Would you have wanted to be the one that stayed and mentored him? I'm sure that I would have been wondering if maybe Paul would be delighted to see me the first day, but change his mind by the second day and think, what am I doing? I just had this vision, you know, hallucination yesterday. I'm back to normal now. But this was a rich, rich opportunity for him. And I think one of the things we really need to watch out for this year is that we don't miss the opportunities of things that look unbelievable, impossible, improbable, unthinkable, but it's our open door. What we do know is that he helped Paul step into his own life, his own calling, a rich ministry life of opportunity, of travel, of cross-cultural evangelism. And would you have liked to have been there? At that point, maybe, would you be willing to accept the call to travel with one of the most influential people of all time? If you read secular comments about Apostle Paul, from liberal people, people that have no partiality toward religion at all, they still speak very highly of him, saying how, you know, it's hard to find anyone besides Jesus Christ who influenced more people, changed more people's ways of thinking, caused more paradigm shifts than Apostle Paul. Wow, sure that would be. One thing we do know is Apostle Paul was driven, he says, by two or three things. Excuse me. He describes himself as having a debt to share the true gospel of Christ with all mankind. Wow, what an assignment. With all mankind, especially the Gentiles. He was committed to be a bondservant to Christ. Bondservant means irrevocable. When you give yourself as a bondservant, you renounce all opportunity to ever take that back. It's forever. And completely unthinkable for a Roman citizen to think of being a bondservant to anybody or a servant. I mean, just unthinkable. So Paul, in his usual manner, says the thing that would shock his audience, that would draw a strong comparison of the rights and privilege he had as a Roman citizen, as a Israeli citizen too, but in order to communicate his uncompromising convictions. He's saying, I've made this commitment, and it's forever. No turning back, no matter how rough it gets. Now, this is something that a mentor can impart, at least over time, to a mentoree. That commitment, that once-for-all decision, that really giving not just your heart, but everything that you are to Christ. And not for a short period of time, but forever and ever and ever. Well, in deciding whether to accept this mission, I'm sure you would also consider the strong points of his past resume. The good news is that in his former life, Paul was mentored by the best, by Gamaliel. So we know that he's not only going to hold up a high standard, but he sought out the best for himself. He was a strict Pharisee, never lacking in zeal to keep the law, well-traveled, so he had that experience behind him. He had good contacts with Romans and with high priests. He had dual citizenship in Rome and Israel, which could come in very handy. But on the other hand, he was known by Jew and Gentile alike as the lethal enforcer. The enforcer of the Jewish law, policy, and procedure, especially upon Christians and other heretics. A person either chose to agree with his dogma, or they got the death penalty. It was simple as that. He considered it his righteous calling. He would fight, murder, do whatever it took to uphold the law, or at least to eliminate those who didn't think that was important. So, what a turnabout we would see in him. His dedication to rid the world of Christian heretics gave words like dominant, decisive, direct, determined, new meaning. Only 2% of the people have the personality style that Paul was, the dominant D personality, if you look at the DISC profile under DISCinsights.com. Only 2%, and it's a good thing. Only 2% of the people have leadership qualities that are this goal-oriented and task-oriented. And it's a good thing that 69% of the people have the more phlegmatic implementer, go along with the program personality. So few people ever won a debate with Saul. He was well-informed, knowledgeable, strong-willed, goal-directed, unaffected by the feelings and opinions of others, capable, and yet in some ways, he may have appeared to be close-minded to any other perspective. It's my mild English way of putting it. On the other hand, he had his cool logical side, which he might have thought was balanced by his ability to dissect the other side, tear their argument apart, to take away all defense that they had. So what I'm saying is, if you choose to accept God's invitation to have Paul as a mentor, you don't expect the warm fuzzies with Paul, but in spite of that, your identity is probably going to be defined and healed and restored indirectly as you hear him share firsthand the truth of who we are in Christ. Back to how it would feel, though, if a disciple or mentoree ever felt inadequate or unprepared. It might be those who were called to travel alongside this giant of spiritual influence, even at that time. He wasn't a person that was only admired for his influence after he died. I mean, you knew when Paul came in town, the waves were there. Good or bad, there was an impact. But Paul would not have made it, just remember that, without Prophet Ananias to mentor him, and without Barnabas, one of the apostles, coming alongside to endorse him and introduce him as a true brother, in the ministry. This is one of the first things I'd like to really emphasize, how important it is for us to be at Barnabas. Even if we say, well, I'm being mentored myself, how important it is for us to find a Barnabas as we're Spirit-led and to be a Barnabas to others who might never, ever fulfill their destiny if it weren't for somebody to come along like Ananias to prophesy to them and like Barnabas to endorse them, to back them up. I know how I feel when I'm among people, we're part of several small groups, who not only honor me as an individual, person, human being, but draw out the gifting that is in me. What an honor, and how life-giving that is. On the other hand, you might have had some hope for Paul being patient and merciful, because he himself appeared to have gotten off to a slow start. After he was saved, being blind certainly was a formidable setback, but then he was healed pretty quickly. But when he went to minister to the Jews in Damascus and tell them his wonderful testimony, he was thrown out, made a quick exit to Arabia, and being thrown out of Damascus again when he tried to return after 3 years, he probably didn't really see himself as becoming the great apostle to the Gentiles that he would be either. So he may have actually identified with us on our journey. Seems to get off to a slow start. People just aren't that impressed with our message, misunderstand us, reject us, and don't confirm our calling. But I believe, knowing how purposed Paul was, that during those 3 years, between being thrown out the first time and the second time in Damascus, that he spent the time in meditation and prayer, and one major thing, really understanding who he was in Christ. That is such a theme that comes through his writings later on. Then when he went to Jerusalem, he was almost killed. So the saints, quote, escorted him to Caesarea and sent him back home, basically, to Tarsus, where he could experience about 10 years of success. And aren't we glad when God does that? Sometimes God will let you learn on the job, so to speak, send you out into the street, have you witnessing until you can realize that you don't really know what you're doing. You don't know how to let Christ live through you. You're still trying to do it in your own strength, or your personality style is in the way. And then we can come back. We can sit at God's feet. It takes some of us longer than others to learn how much we need to do that, how much we need to attend the staff meeting in the morning and know what our assignments are, to receive the revelation that we'll need during the day, the impartation of God's power to stir up our spiritual gifts and to get clarity on what our assignment is versus what isn't. But I'm sure Paul used those 3 years, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit was his tutor. Sometimes it's good to be sent back home, roughly home, and he would become one of the most competent, capable communicators and teachers in church history, who is still respected by liberals today, by scholars of all kinds, because he changed history. And my opinion is that he did it without that much charm or charisma. I think he would have been a little bit difficult to work with. I know when I come on real strong and direct, I get feedback like that. But he learned. He learned to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was able to partner with God to alter the very core beliefs of converts across the Roman Empire. I mean, this was like the known world at that time. Jews and Gentiles alike. He was basically reorganizing their whole church life and their theology in spite of opposition from all sides. He had a way, and it could have been his dominant personality, his unyielding, uncompromising way of presenting things so clearly, but he had a way of drawing out his opposition, whether it would be Jews or Gentiles or pagans. And he had a way of actually going and searching them out and getting in their face and finding them. So if you were looking for a healing or restoration ministry kind of mentor, you might have wanted to run, not walk away from this man. In spite of his glaring lack of sympathy with other world views, personal feelings of the people he's addressing, religious traditions that have been precious to them for lifetimes, it probably was inspiring to be mentored with someone who is this clear, this focused, this dedicated. You know, Paul was not a whiner. No matter how bad things got, he did not assume the victim mentality. As far as we can tell, he would present the facts as the facts and identify truth versus error, but was not judgmental of people. You may have to think about that one for a while. Was he judgmental or not? Because he came down really strong, saying, there's no excuse for you, O man who judges, and that's God's job. We see absolutely no evidence that he kept grudges against Judas and tried to kill him, and even those who tried to kill him more than once. And no matter how tough the ministry was, I believe that we only have one fairly complete list of the worst of his persecutions, where he said, oh, I'm a fool to tell you this, but I'll tell you. You know, I was shipwrecked, I was stoned and left for dead, and I was, you know, nearly drowned. And the thing that broke my heart was when he got to the part where I was left cold and naked, even by my own brethren. That's the tough part, isn't it? When you're betrayed, it's not really by the enemy, is it? Betrayal comes from your friends or family. So while he might not have been the best at close personal relationships, I think probably never married, he was a good problem solver and a good trainer men like Titus to be problem solvers. He's a good, keen discerner of what the issues were and a sharp strategist. And best of all, he was not using the people he trained to build his own empire. Maybe that's enough said on that. Paul may have been criticized for being goal-directed and task-oriented, but never for being easily distracted, from being disoriented from the call or disillusioned by the circumstances, like so many who quit the ministry today. Now, if you've quit, know that if you're still breathing, it's not over yet. I personally started out in full-time ministry and then made some bad choices, being more like the woman at the well making the same bad choices over and over, and wound up in the wilderness 20 years. But after 20 years, I just said, God, I'm clear now. I can't do it my own strength. I can't earn it. How do I ever get back on track? So I really believe I can still get back on track. And he did. He brought prophetic people my way that spoke life and hope and vision and my mission bigger than ever. Hallelujah. Well, if Paul was anything, he was a demonstration that faith with works is life, is alive, and as Jesus Christ lives through us, greater works can be done. This fivefold minister was always equipping the saints, like always, imparting spiritual gifts, teaching people how to stir up their own gifts in the power of the Holy Spirit, releasing new revelation, verse after verse after verse. What an eloquent writer as well, under the power of the Holy Spirit. Speaking the kingdom of God into the visible realm like no one had ever done before, in my opinion. Rightly dividing truth from error. And he was a demonstration of how to use your offensive weapons, the armor of God, swinging the sword of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit always. Charge up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. And I think one of the things that I appreciate the most about him, when I hear apostle, who do I think of first? Apostle Paul. Because he gave clear definition to the calling of an apostle and demonstrated that extra anointing of spiritual authority and power that the apostle has to take new territory for the kingdom of God, to establish churches where there were only enemies before, and to mentor their leaders from the ground up. I always say, if you call yourself an apostle, you're not supervising any leaders, no one's following you. If you call yourself a leader and no one's following you, you're just taking a walk. But not Apostle Paul. He's a clear, clear picture. He was so very successful that he changed the whole face of the Christian church. It started out as converted Jews, and before you know it, there were more Gentiles, for instance, in the church in Rome than there were Jews. Even Ferguson Everett in church history from Christ to pre-Reformation, he said Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles par excellence, so much so that the church predominantly Gentile by the end of the first century. Wow! You know, Paul's ministry was roughly 33 years long. Interesting, that's how long Christ lived. And the last two decades, he did a lot of writing. He had about 4 missionary journeys, but they were longer. You know, we think it's a long time if we're out on the road 3 weeks. He would be out a couple of years. Okay, so let's go ahead and imagine that I'm the mentee and I accepted the invitation to travel with Paul, or that you are. I realize the Bible doesn't leave room for another party on the team, but we'll just pretend. There are so many revelations that I could share with you from the 13 epistles that Paul wrote. But for tonight, I'd just like to share a few, and then I'll leave time for you to call in and share others. Where would we be without all these insights? They actually caused life-changing turning points in my life as I began to ask God to illumine the writings of Paul. Wow. I fell in love with the book of Romans. And the teachings in Romans are like the backbone to the strength that I have today. Praise God for this man. But pretending that I was there, I think, first of all, I would be glad for frequent opportunities for deliverance, for fear, impartations of courage and faith, especially on the first missionary journey. It starts off on the wrong foot, it seemed like, because John Mark left Paul and Barnabas in the middle of the journey. But, you know, the Holy Spirit mentors and tutors us in personal relationships as we go. All of us need to make adjustments in our personality style because Christ was a blend of all four, and all of us need to make adjustments. And the Holy Spirit never misses those chances to show us our rough edges and how we personally can be a better expression of the heart of God. Most missionaries, actually, who leave the ministry do so because they cannot get along with the other missionaries. Same is true today. And ups and downs are normal. If you have tried to idolize any Christian leaders, you get to know them, then you'll be broken of that. You may be heartbroken first, but then you'll be broken knowing that only Christ can live the life through us. Amen. So it was up one day, down the next. One day, Paul was a hero for healing a crippled man in Lystra, and the next, the Jews from Antioch and Iconium incited a mob to stone Paul. And stoning back then, it wasn't little rocks. I want you to get this. They would throw them into a pit that's twice as deep as they were tall, so they had no hope of getting out. And then they dropped very big rocks on top of them. They'd have them like heart up and just drop big rocks on them until they were dead. So in this case, it appeared that he was done. But the next miracle actually was that after everybody left, Paul rose up. I can't even imagine if he was feeling well how he could get out from under all those rocks. But anyway, the next miracle to me was that he went right on to Derby, 60 miles away. 60 miles without a car. And I thought, you know, if I was there, I would have thought, maybe we can go back by a different route when we go home. But Paul, no, he had to go back through Lystra again. He was determined to encourage the disciples that he had made there. And by the way, if I don't pronounce any of these cities right, please forgive me. I'm just trying to get across the main point. The time someone was perverting the gospel of Christ, Paul was right there to rightly divine the truth. You know, he just couldn't resist it. But one of my favorite themes that he brings up over and over and over in Acts, Romans, and the epistles is coming against this idea that you can get or maintain your salvation by keeping the law. It keeps emphasizing liberty in Christ, that we are free from the power of sin. We're free from any error about performing to earn God's love and acceptance. Hallelujah. But Paul and Barnabas and James won the victory on this debate. I mean, it was huge to come against. It's actually the idea of being saved by keeping the law was actually never the case. And some of us may be been confused about that for years. The Bible says that Abraham was saved by faith too. And that's going back to the beginning here, that he was saved by faith looking forward to the Messiah, to God's provision for our salvation. And so when this came up at the council in Jerusalem, and Paul and Barnabas and James spoke and they won, this was huge. At least the Gentiles from keeping the ceremonial law, and Judas and Silas were sent to deliver the decision to the churches in writing. It was serious. It was firm. So learning to discern the leaven of the law was a major lesson in understanding their freedom. Freedom, as Romans says, in Romans 7:1, from being married to the law of sin and death. Freedom from the power of sin in Romans 6. But I love Romans 7:4, talking about that we are dead as believers. We're dead to being married to old man law. And our, it's kind of like a pun, our old man inside us died, got out of that marriage. And we've been raised up to be married to our new bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And out of that union, out of that marriage, is where the fruit is born. No more striving forever, trying to bear fruit. And so, if you're still not clear on that, study Romans 6 and 7 and 8 again, slowly. The second missionary journey was off to a poor start, too, with disagreement over John Mark again. Paul chose Silas as his ministry partner, and John Mark went with Barnabas. You know, sometimes God will use things like that to disperse us, to send us out with new teams. God does make all things work out for good. Timothy joined up with a team later. There can be change. Some of us are always fearful that change means that, you know, somebody was disobedient, and maybe they were, but God works around it. Establishing and strengthening churches in Ephesus, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Corinth was always a primary purpose of Paul. God gave specific direction through dreams and visions like the Macedonian vision. And I'm sure those that were with him learned a lot of how God has always used vision all the way through the Bible. At Philippi, God allowed Paul and Silas to be arrested, seemingly to bring the gospel and salvation to the jailer, but a whole church was established there too. Holy Spirit connected the team with hungry students of the Word. At the next stop in the Berean school was established, First Berean School. But, of course, persecution broke out again, and Paul had to leave town again. He left for Athens while Silas and Timothy stayed to build up the church. Now, I wondered about that. Does that mean that they were less irritating? Was it about Paul's personality style? Or had he been present and they weren't? Don't know. In Athens, Paul comes out strong against the idolatry, of course. He's up on Mars Hill preaching away, but only a few were converted there. So Paul had his ups and downs, too. Sometimes his meetings were larger than others. He just kept going no matter what. Finally, the team is reunited to minister to the Corinthians for about 18 months. The one thing we see is that Paul was uncompromising no matter what. He stayed true to his message. And yet he was humble. Now, he may not be what you would picture as humble right off the bat, because he was obviously no doormat. He was never going to compromise. The farthest from it of anybody I've read about. But when misguided people came along and presented false messages, or they came against legitimate liberty that the believers had and were going to bring them back into bondage again, bring them back to believing they had to be circumcised or had to have food rules. You know, food rules is still big today. Paul was still there to take the stand, always. It didn't matter if it seemed small or large. Even when Peter seemed to be off course in Antioch. Paul had seen Peter do this before. He had yielded to Jewish prejudice and how he had backed off from the Gentiles and refused to share common meals with them. Paul jumped him in public. You know, I resisted him to his face. He's condemned. I mean, when Paul nailed somebody, you know they were nailed. But it's a lesson to all of us. Don't pervert the gospel. This is not our privilege to adjust the gospel to fit our social pressures, to cause us to be more popular, keep the offerings going, to cause there to be better financial support for our cause, our business, whatever. Paul wasn't going to compromise the truth for anything. He didn't give in to social pressure. He didn't try to blend in. But on the other hand, he was very, very supportive. It seems like he would do anything to be there. Christians, new Christians, for the leaders. And, you know, even the people that tried to kill him, and some tried more than once, we see no evidence of grudges held, of unforgiveness, no whining, no complaining. I mean, he would just get back up and head out on another trip. So we admire Paul, don't we? I mean, he had serious spine, clear doctrines, no seeing him walk one thing and talk another, right? No hearing him preach one thing with one group and preach another with another. I like that. And while he might appear stubborn, obstinate, aggressive, he knew who the enemy was and he was coming against the enemy. And that's one important thing for us to learn as we're mentored by him, to tear down the strongholds but love the people. Seldom do we see him defending himself. in 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23. He talks about his defense a little bit. And I think there was a time when he also talked about how he often ministered for free. But on the other hand, don't distort that either, because Paul would take up offerings. He was raising money. He took money to the church in Jerusalem. So he's not against offerings and money. He's clear that a worker is worthy of their hire. I don't know, I'm running out of time for the teaching part. But I just want to say how much I respect anyone who really believes what they believe and will really stand up for it. Even during his house arrest, Paul is true to his call, apostle to the Gentiles, apostle to us all. And he is there writing. He's taking up for the underdog and the mistreated. He's on Onesimus' side, you know, who is a slave that had fled from his master, Philemon. And he's taking his case. I'd love to have Paul on my side, wouldn't you? But this guy had apparently wronged his master. Maybe he stole from him. I don't know. But Paul stands up for him. He says, take him back. Take him back. Do it for my sake, you know. According to this, the letters, we see how forgiving Paul is. And I know that one of the main problems in ministry today is that people find it hard to deal with the rejection, with the criticism, with the misunderstanding, lack of appreciation. I could go on and on because I are one. But they get hung up on that. And Paul says, they all forsook me, you know, but he says, may it not be charged to them. Wow. Wow. Where would I be today if it weren't for Paul making it so clear to Romans that it's not performance-based acceptance? Don't preach it. It's not God. That we're justified by faith. In Romans 5, that righteousness is a gift. Where would we be if we didn't know, as I didn't for many years, that our old man is dead, as he taught in Romans 6, and we thought we had to fight our old man or that it kept coming back alive over and over? Where would we be if someone hadn't written Romans 7? Telling us that the real problem is our flesh. It's not our essential nature. Our old nature is dead and buried. We are new creatures in Christ, partakers of a new nature. Thank God for Paul being in prison in a way, because it slowed him down again, and he was writing and writing and writing for the last 20 years of his life. And writing so that we would understand what it is to walk in the Spirit. And there is no condemnation. If only we could get that across to the whole church. You know, we are still trying to preach his messages. There's no condemnation. Don't let anybody with a condemning attitude stop you from fulfilling your calling. They just don't understand that yet. Amen. Don't let people that don't understand these truths hold you back. And in Galatians, we see again, when they try to put the law on you, say you are defined by your past, that you are your past, that you are your behavior. Well, people try to say that your ability to keep the law is, you know, who you are, that you would fall for that again. In Philippians, we learn about the power of joy and rejoicing, and how Jesus laid his life down. But first of all, he laid down his advantages as being God. We learn about the importance of being of like mind. Wow. that we are complete in Christ. We're strong in him. And why? Because he really is in us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Most High, is really inside us. His hands are in your hands. His lips are in your lips. And we are an expression of his heart and a demonstration of his power if we just invite him to live through us each day. You'll probably hear me say that every program. Why? Because that's the secret. Christ in us, our hope of glory. In Ephesians, we learn how to pray, among many other things. Oh, the prayers that are in Ephesians. But don't skip over the first few verses where Paul makes it clear that because of what Christ has done on the cross, you are seen as holy and blameless. So if the devil attacks you by making you think that God thinks you're less than in any way, just remind the devil, remind yourself, really, that you are holy and blameless. Amen? Amen. It's not that you are your behavior. See how easy it is to slip back into that. I could just go on and on. On and on. In Corinthians, we see how to deal with issues when people are living in gross sin and absolutely refuse to repent. For those that think it's not important for Christians to repent, you might want to read Corinthians again. But we also find out what true love is. And God was just saying to me today, is it really my love if you only love the people that are easy? No. Came to love us while we were still his enemies, the Bible says. And of course, some of my favorite chapters are Corinthians 12 and 14. Covet earnestly. Desire earnestly the best gift. Know that the Holy Spirit in you has them all. Appreciate and honor one another for how all of our gifting fits together. Enjoy worship services where the gifts flow. And I would add, if God will release you, don't be satisfied to be in worship services where the gifts don't flow, where the Holy Spirit's being quenched, because it really is one another. Either you're letting the Holy Spirit be God and be in control, and when he's in control, most anything can happen. And that scares some people, stirs up their control issues. Or, you know, let the Holy Spirit, are we going to church to worship God? You know, let him be God. And don't settle for dry, empty, church as usual, where only things happen that we can do in our own strength. Amen. Well, there's more in Thessalonians as we see Paul talking about the coming of Christ, return of Christ, the end time event. And there's more and more. But since it's so late, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop here and invite you to call in and share your insights. But I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to encourage you to just share one point. Leave other points for somebody else. Make it short. Make it short, because I know that you want to receive personal prophetic ministry as well. And so what I need you to do is just, you know, refer to your point and then allow me to minister to you, okay? And then we can move on. We already have a lot of callers. And if you have something to share, comment to make, question to ask, please push number one now. And especially if you haven't contributed in the last week or two. The number is 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683. I'd like to just encourage you to contribute tonight, because, you know, this is a year of open doors, but what that means is we need to get connected, we need to believe God for a mentor, and we need to be willing to walk through those open doors. So that's why I kind of shared a lot of this tonight, because here we've got four missionary journeys that Paul went on. We're talking traveling for years. We're talking a lot of challenges a lot of times to operate in faith and courage. And, you know, what good is mentoring if you never do what you haven't done? Unfortunately, somebody's calling on my phone. Not going to help you. You need to call on 917-388-4683. Okay. Let me take the first caller. What I do is call out your area code and ask you for your name and city. We know who we're talking to and praying for. And encourage all of you listeners to ask God to give you a word for this person too. Even though you don't get to give it tonight, it's good training and activation for you. Amen. Okay. Are you ready? Area code 404, welcome to the program.
Hi, Prophet Carlotta. This is Bobby from Atlanta, Georgia.
What's your name?
Good evening. It's Bobby from Atlanta.
Bobby. Okay, good. Welcome. Glad to have
yes.
you.
Yes, and I average about one call a year. God always has me to specifically come on about once a year, and I've been doing that for the past 3 years, and every particular time, it is so on course. It is so on target. I do what you do, but I have great honor and respect for you. I actually have a mentoree on as well. Usually when I come on, I will usually choose someone to join in with me, and she's calling in from Houston, but I'm going to keep it brief. The point that I wanted to make from the teaching was a very full, simple, balanced meal. It reminded me of just having the meat, you know, without the sauce on it. I mean, I eat meat without having steak sauce when I do eat steak, and that's what I felt like tonight. It was not the extra. It was not splatter with anything, but the statement you made about do not let anyone stop your call because and the assignment that God has given you because they don't understand it yet. For me and what I've done through all the years, that is like I can see it in neon light. When you actually said it. And I just pray that the others that are listening in tonight, those who have gone through the training and the prep and the stretching like myself and you, Carlotta, over the last 3 years, I've heard the increase in God. The last call I was on is when you were sick and you were off for about, you know, several weeks and you came back. I didn't even know that you were sick. And God told me to come on the call, and you had just gotten back. And you did say, Bobby, we need to connect, you know, keep in touch. And I've mm-hmm. just been flowing the way God has had me to flow. But the first year, you just told me technology, technology, technology. And this is my last thing I want to say. When you said that the very first time that I called in, you said, no, Bobby, not just Facebook, not just this and that. You said it's a whole nother level. I want to say to you, Carlotta, it's just a confirmation, and I've been seeing the word manifest over the past 3 years. And to those who are listening, I did. I obeyed the word of the prophet, and I have prospered spiritually. There have been challenges, but when I did do the change, people were accustomed to conferences and workshops being physical, you know, being there in the flesh, and I had to begin to start using technology the way God said. And when I did that, a lot of people got very angry at me and said very bad things. But, Carlotta, I want to tell you that the word of the Lord that came through your vessel said technology, technology, technology. That workshop, when I changed it, the people started saying she canceled the conference, and that was just a blatant lie. I still had the conference, but I did it via technology. So they said she didn't have the conference, she didn't do it, but it ended up being global. So I'm grateful, and I'm sorry to take the time, but I just really felt like God pressed on me, and that's why I tried to get in first. So I want to thank everybody, plus you as the host, for allowing me on. But I believe, you know, I'm on assignment when he called me. I wanted to encourage you as well as the callers and share my testimony. And I will be planting in your ministry by Friday. Whatever God does this week, there's a percentage that he has placed on my heart. And I am going to sow into you because you can't continue at this level. You got to have the resources. Just as Apostle Paul let us know. You know, if they do, it's fine. If they don't, but I know better. So by Friday, I will be seeding into your ministry, and God bless you and thank you.
And I pray that you will reap that, Bobby, because people, you know, they probably don't even stop to think that when you have a live church service, the offering plate is passed, and then you're very highly blessed, you know, by that. But when you have radio, there's no offering plate going around.
Absolutely.
You know, and I studied hours. I hope that didn't sound red, but I studied hours for this program, you know, and what we are is long-term investors. You know, we just keep investing whether there's an immediate return or not. Father, I just thank you for Bobby. Bobby, I'm not clear on what the picture represents, but I see one of those long canoes in the race that, I guess you call it a canoe. Whatever you call it, where there's a lot of people rowing. And I just hear Father saying, Bobby, you're just one of many that are rowing your boat. You may not be able to see the others all the time. They may not come forward and seemingly be there when you need them, but you're not the only one rowing your boat. I have called people to intercede, to give, you know, prayers, players, payers. I've called people to be on that team. And I also saw you on dry land that there were angels just shoulder to shoulder in camo uniforms with their, like, machine guns up.
Wow.
Ready and alert. And
wow.
Whenever the enemy tries to tell you, you're in it alone, or where was everybody when I needed them, or who appreciates this, the Lord says, I just want you to know that for every one person that might express their appreciation, there are at least 1,000 more that read it or heard it or got the impartation who did not respond.
Wow.
And the Lord says, I'm actually protecting you.
Wow.
I'm protecting you because if you knew today the ripple effect of this, you know, the seeds that you sow,
mm-hmm.
the multiplication of it. If you knew today, it might go to your head and you'd have to start over. The Lord says,
wow.
I'm just protecting you.
Wow.
I'm just protecting you. And because the devil would have you develop an appetite for affirmation or appreciation or
mm-hmm.
a little
mm-hmm.
affection here and there from the sheep. But the Lord
mm-hmm.
says, your salvation is that you look to me for that. I'm
yes.
the safe one. I'm the safe one. And I can keep your heart clear.
Yes.
And I'll work with you. My Holy Spirit works with you to keep your motivations clear.
Yes,
and not to
Lord.
Worry. Not to worry. It's not going to be long before you will be introduced to those who would, even like we were saying of Paul tonight, those that would say thank you. It won't be long. Just stay busy sewing. Stay busy sewing. And even the technology comes under greater works. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I receive it and bless your heart. And like I said, I will inbox you on Facebook to find out exactly where to put it. I mean, you know, how to get it into you, so.
Okay. All righty. Thank you very
Amen.
Much. I don't know if you know, I spent 23 years in Atlanta. Most of that time I was in the wilderness, but I know the city pretty well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, be blessed.
Yes.
Please send in testimonies as they come. Amen.
Okay, no, I just wanted to say, no, you did share that, and you did tell me, you said, no, we're going to connect at due season. And on this call, that season is more closer than we know as well, and that I know that I know.
Right, and I'm in Georgia now, so please contact me, and we will meet up somewhere.
Amen.
Okay. Have a great night. Great year.
You do the same. Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome. You're welcome. It's a small world, you know. Many of you are sowing seeds and have sown seeds in other places, and maybe you wondered if anything good came of it. But then God will give you a glimpse, just like he gave me just now through Bobby, that she's not only multiplying the seed, because she was probably doing well before she ever heard of me, but maybe she gained some courage to do it through technology. And that may or may not be the case, but what I want to impart to each of you right now is the courage to believe this. Not that any one way is superior to another, but know this, that we see thousands of people who are downloading programs because of technology. Whereas if I had a live church, a stick-built church, you know, in a local setting, I'd probably be doing good to reach hundreds. Am I the same person either way? Yes. It's just that technology is that good. And I hope that this doesn't sound wrong, but I really believe, you know, when we all probably sit back and say, God, what could be better work? Greater works than Jesus did. How could anything be greater works than what Jesus did? And the only answer I have is maybe just our ability to multiply it through things like technology. Area code 724, you're on the program.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Lynn in Pittsburgh.
Well, hello, Lynn. Another place where I have lived. How are you tonight?
Praising the Lord. Hanging in there.
Okay, good. Any comments on the program, teaching?
Yes. David, of course, is my favorite Bible character because of his love and concept of God. His grasping of grace under law just amazes me. But Paul is someone that I really admire besides David because Paul was so, he was just, like, incredible. He never got depressed.
Mm.
If the things that would have happened to me that have happened to him, I mean, three times in the sea, three times, I mean, my goodness, beaten three times, I mean, mm-hmm. left for dead, I mean, my goodness, it just blows me away, his ability to just keep, take a licking and keep on ticking.
It must have been a miracle, too. I don't think it was all about strength. Just how could anybody be stoned and get up and take a 60-mile trip the next day?
How could, and you know, if it happened to me once I was left in the sea shipwrecked, and it happened to me again and again, I would start thinking, boy, I must be out of God's will. This keeps happening to me over and over. There must be some kind of pattern here.
Well, here's a possibility. I hear you and identify with you. However, you know, there's a possibility God did do some adjustments during that, saying, you know, Paul, maybe you could say it this way. You know, maybe Paul wasn't perfect. You know, maybe God did say sometimes, you know, you delivered the right message, but he didn't exactly deliver my heart exactly right. You know, maybe he could say it this one. I'm sure he was growing too, but your main point is well taken. He got back up and kept going. So whether he was 90% innocent, 10% guilty or whatever, Paul kept going. Amen?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Wow, she stuck to the one point. Thank you, Lord. I just can't help but identify that that Paul did have physical problems. And I'm sure wounds and scars, and some people say he was bent over, and other people said he had eyesight problems and all, and I don't know exactly the whole list. But we know that Paul did all this anyway. And many times we don't want to be God's example that way. You know, we want to be in perfect health and we want to be strong and, you know, successful and prosperous and everything else. But Paul, we don't know if he had any of that physical strength or anything on his own, but he got back up and kept going. The love of Christ compelled him, he said. Thank you, Lord.
Uh-huh.
Whew. What an example.
I know. I just really, really admire him.
Well, the Lord says, I'm good for it in your life too, Lynn. I'm good for it in your life too. I have given everybody a set of weaknesses and a set of strengths. I've given you all places where you have to trust me and other places that come easier. The Lord says that I've really favored you in many ways, and with your beauty and keen discernment and your clarity of the message and all that. The Lord says, in the places that are still a struggle, that are still weak, I have promised to make your weak places strong. And I have promised that as you turn to me and say, God, you're going to have to live this part through me. Jesus Christ, you know, let it be you that speak through me. Let it be your hands. Let it be your strength that I will be. And I have set you up, really, the Lord says, that people pretty well know what your weaknesses are, and they're also able to discern when it's Christ in you, your hope of glory. And the Lord says this apparent famine of funds and provision and connections won't last forever, that I have strengthened your focus and I have strengthened your ability to rest in me and your knowledge of how to use your tongue to speak the invisible into the visible. I've increased all that, and I'm increasing it. And as you speak the invisible into the visible, it will happen. It will happen. And you felt like you're on the backside of the desert with a bunch of sheep that won't listen, but you're going to see that those sheep begin to hear my voice. The ones that are my sheep will begin to hear my voice, and you will know that you know why you have sowed those seeds into those hard, stony places, and how I worked with you, and the thorns did not choke them all out, and they weren't all burned up. And the Lord says, I know, just as I would let Paul be arrested, seemingly just so that a jailer could be saved in his house. It wasn't just for that. A whole church sprang up out of it. The Lord says, don't despair that I'm making all the weak places strong. Just keep speaking it into existence and know that you will see it. You will see it happen. Amen?
Thank you.
I don't know how many years we have left.
I know. There aren't many.
Like, tell me it's this year, God, but he seldom gives me a time period in a word, because every personal prophetic word is conditional on our response. But thank God it's not conditional on other people's response. You know, nobody else's choices can limit God's faithfulness to us. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Only limited by our own response. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for Lynn's prayers and love and support. Thank you, Lord. I wanted to say, and I see you coming down here to visit us, but I didn't hear that, so we'll leave that between you and God.
My finances took a turn for the worse a couple months ago, and things are really, really bad right at the moment, and you spoke to that when you were talking to me.
Right, right. We'll just believe that sometimes it's the darkest before dawn. Amen.
Yeah,
I think
well, I'm going to just speak it into existence.
yeah, existence. I think that God does let us have setbacks so that we'll come to attention and begin to speak and believe bigger. I really do. I know he's doing that with me. because I can become kind of passive and just kind of coast with what I've got. But if what I've got starts to disappear, then I get alert, you know, start to fight
back
alert. And believe bigger. Okay, thank you for being alert.
I'm alert right now.
We'll buy you the T-shirt that has two words on it, A-lert. So, okay, have a good night. Keep me posted.
All right, thank
you. Know. All right.
Okay.
Wow. I love it when you all are real because, you know, life is real for me too. Having lived among 26 families of prophets at Christian International, I can tell you I don't think anybody has all smooth waters. I don't know of anybody that's ever has all smooth waters. And from reading the Bible stories, it sounds like they usually go through a couple of decades of storm and rough waters and rocks and the Judaizers or the opposers or something. But thank God for his training school. He never puts us through more than we can handle. Hallelujah. All right, let's try another one. Area code 832, welcome to the program.
Hi, my name is Monica. How are you?
I'm good. Monica, how are you?
I'm doing great. So much I could just say concerning the teaching. It was awesome. My mentor actually was the first caller. And
let me tell you that you sound like you're on speakerphone or something. Is it possible not to be?
Hello, can you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you. Now, your mentor said what?
No, I was saying my mentor was actually the first caller tonight. So everything you taught on just so resounded with me. And just even the part where you talked about how you were in the wilderness and how God will allow a prophetic voice to come to you in your wilderness place to put you back on target. And that's exactly what happened with me, and it's exactly how God used her just to speak into my life. I mean, I was, you know, drifting away, and, you know, and God just used her. We hadn't talked in about over 20 years, and then God just allowed her to find me and spoke life into me, and I've been going strong ever since, and, you know, I'm still going. So it's just, you know, I can so resonate with everything you said. And, I mean, you know, and just my mentor as well, just, you know, how she, how God uses her so mightily in my life. So I just thank you for that, and I thank you for the mentor that you are as well.
Thank you, Lord. It is so good to hear from you all. I was just noticing a friend on Facebook today posting, you know, thinking that because he doesn't hear from people, they're not his friend anymore. But, you know, it is so good when we hear from a few of you. It's not that we have to be pumped up with accolades or anything. It's just that we all need to know that God is watering and fertilizing and multiplying the seed. Amen?
Yes, so true.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Monica. Mm-hmm. What city are you in?
I'm in Houston, Texas.
Houston. Okay, got a lot of seeds going on in Texas. I've done seminars there four times, I think. Love Texas. Praying for rain over the whole Southwest. Amen.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Ooh. Mm. Boy, this is kind of serious and unrelated maybe to what you just said, but Monica, it is so important, the seeds that you're sowing in that area. I just saw this flash of how the New World Order's plan, you know, is to make Mexico and the United States and Canada one nation. We would lose our sovereignty, and, you know, that's why you can't go into a department store or anywhere without it being in Spanish. So I have absolutely nothing against Mexico or Spanish or any of that, but, you know, as things get reorganized eventually, because Revelation does prophesy it, it's going to be very important what seeds we sowed into other nations, because the whole world's going to be different. And, you know, whether we're still here or not, praise God that we're able to sow seeds in other nations. I know right now I'm doing restoration prayer ministry with people from three different continents at once because of sight or boo-boo. It's a wonderful thing. The Lord says, know that I am fertilizing and multiplying the seed. Be diligent. Be diligent. I appreciate your discipline, the Lord says. When you're disciplined and you rise up at reveille and you come to attention, you hear me give you the clarity and the certainty that I have wanted to give you and you have wanted to receive. But the Lord says, I'm opening your ears even more to hear those things. The more you listen, the more you'll hear it, the clearer it will be. The Lord says, I will give you some of the strategies ahead of time. Not everything like a blueprint, but have pen and paper ready to write the vision that you might run with it at the appointed time. And have that sense of anticipation that I'm just imparting to you tonight, that I am giving you more clarity and certainty so that you won't be immobilized, you won't be afraid to go forward at the appointed time. And you have, you will have your Barnabas that will endorse you and open doors for you, and you'll have your Ananias to speak into your heart, and you'll have Titus that will help you as you train up others and you become more of a mentor yourself. You'll have your Titus that will help troubleshoot for you, and your Timothy that will help stir up the people and help them to know how to stir up their gifts in a good way, stir them up in a good way. And so the Lord says, I am preparing your team.
Wow.
I will connect you at the right time. This is not something you make happen. This is not something that you lay on people. But the Lord says, I will put the desire in their heart. I will put my desires in their heart. And you'll begin to notice as you press into the vision and the mission that I'm giving you, as you press into it for yourself,
yes,
then you'll notice that others come alongside. They'll come alongside, and they will consider it an honor. And the Lord says, those that have refused to go over the Jordan with you, don't worry about it. I love them as much as anybody else, and I will minister to them. And those who seem to be, you know, making the golden calf while you're on the mountain, you know, fasting and praying, don't worry about it. I'll handle them. But I'm just bringing you to that place where you'll know the wilderness was worth it when you see people delivered and set free, when you see them being equipped to be able to go across the Jordan and take their promised land, their inheritance, and when they know how to do a good warfare and fight the giants and pick their mounts. You'll know it was worth it. But also for you, not to worry, there will be a place of rest. And even as Moses was able to stand on top of the hill and Aaron and Hur held his hands up, and he prayed, but he was a father in the faith that could stand there as an icon, you know, like standing with God and speaking his will into existence. You will come to that point where you have that kind of faith. Wow. The Lord says, I'm committed to you, to building it into you, but you just have to start from where you are.
Yes.
And let me show you anything that's not me.
Yes.
And I'll be doing that with little baby steps and little pop quizzes. Not to worry that they come unannounced, because that's the whole nature of the faith, you know. But you'll trust me that I am good no matter what.
Yeah.
You'll become more and more anchored in that I am good no matter how things look. You'll be prepared for the challenges in these end times, and others will be inspired as they see you trust me no matter what. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much.
Pardon me?
I would say thank you so much. It was such an awesome word from the Lord and so much confirmation. Thank you. And I too, echo what Bobby said. I want to definitely plan into your ministry by this weekend, so I will get with her to get that information so that I can sow into your ministry so that, you know, God can further you in everything that you set your hands to do.
Well, I am so touched, especially, I know you all aren't trying to get glory for yourself. You're trying to encourage other people, but I'm telling you, God's in that because I don't mention money that much. I kind of get turned off when people mention money every 10 minutes. But this is the time, girl. This is the time. We had challenges in 2013, just like a lot of you did. And relocating with no job to go to was tough, and it's still a challenge. You know, it's been all faith. It's all faith. So I just thank God for those of you that God, you know, bringing alongside. Because when you go to a land that you know not of, and you know the sensible way to go is to have the job first and the resume in place and all that.
Yeah.
And not just show up. You know that, but that's not how God did it. And I will say this on our half, so you won't think we're just retarded, but not only did we know we were supposed to come back to the South, but little did I know that I would wind up having surgery, because I'm so big on healing, I never saw this coming, you know. I didn't know I would wind up having surgery, and my husband would have to actually take care of me for an extended period of time because I couldn't take a single step. And so our God is faithful, though, all the way through that. He's taking care of us, and I just thank you for all of you that care and are still helping to care for us, and we just appreciate you so much. Profuse gratitude coming your way.
Amen. Well, thank you
and
so
much. For those that listen in the archives, we probably still need to. It won't be just tonight. Thank you so much. Be blessed, Monica. Have a great year.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Amen. And if there's anyone else that would like to know how to give, you just go to our main website or the other one. The main website is crosswalklife.com. Our other second website was nowfaith.tv. And at the bottom of any page, you should be able to see a donate button. You can donate one time, or you can donate monthly and set it up right there and never have to think about it again. But we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Once you give your tithe to, you know, your primary or to your local church, but want to give offerings, we're right here. I believe, personally, I believe in giving to those that feed you. Amen. Amen. Well, we have time for a few more. That number is 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. Area code 310, welcome to the program.
This is Patty in Los Angeles. My one comment, which I found so encouraging, is Paul, a man who had very strong opinions before God convicted him, and then afterwards he took that same zeal led by the Holy Spirit, but that no matter what one has done or what attitude one has had towards God, he calls each of us to him.
Amen.
So I think that's important to remember if that's you, and also important to remember if someone else has been in that situation and suddenly they're called, and you know, I think that could be, well, that person's doing that, and, you know, I've been doing, praying and doing, but God has his plan, and it's, you know, ideal for each of us and ideal for his kingdom.
Amen. Very well said. Very good point. And I'll say it, you know, you said it a second time, I'll say it a third time.
no matter what our past is, it doesn't define us now. God redeems everything, takes the pain out, makes our weak places strong. And who would think that someone that's preaching exactly the wrong things and enforcing it all the wrong ways, like Saul, that God would make him into a Paul? But it took Jesus Christ himself to knock him off his horse.
Yes.
Some of us aren't easy to stop, but God did what it took to get him on the right path. He had a prophet ready to minister to him. He had Barnabas ready to come alongside. And I remember so clearly, Patty, reading in one of the most famous older Bible handbooks, I won't say which one, that it said Jesus would have never chosen Mary Magdalene to be part of his ministry team because of her past. And I thought to myself, if God can't do anything about our past, we're all in trouble. Because when you're saved,
yes, we would be.
You get not only a new future and a new present, you get a new past too. You're a member of a new family, and your sins are washed away. And God gave me a vision once where I was flipping through the book that is spoken of that's in heaven, you know, the book of our lives. And I was scared to look. So I spent 20 years in the wilderness. And so, but in this vision, I was flipping through and I came to one of the scary parts of my life. And it was just clean, like all erased, but there was a drop of his blood there. So I got courage and I flipped to another part. And clean too. Flipped to another part. It was clean too. And there was just such a sense of relief when he gave me that vision that it is really true. We really are totally forgiven, justified as if we'd never done it. And we really are made holy and blameless and righteous by what Jesus did on the cross.
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
It's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful.
If there's anybody out there that thinks you've sinned too much or you've been hurt too much or you're too dirty or impure or too wounded, there's nothing. I like how Corey Ten Boom said it. There's no pit that he's not deeper still. Hallelujah. What a redeemer. Anything else, Patty?
No, I'll stick to that. One comment, although I'll add, I guess, one, and I just think the trusting, the just the eyes always on God. So I don't think, at least he wasn't distracted enough to take them off, just knowing that faith. So such a great example.
I'm just hearing the Lord speak over you that you're one of those that's anointed to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord and make ready a people, but first of all to enter into that curriculum that I have for making you ready. And the Lord says my desire is to give you an Issachar anointing, to be able to discern the times and seasons in ways that few people do. Not only the signs in the sky, but whereas in the past the enemy's plan has been to steal any hope for this and to cause you to feel like you are easily influenced or fooled or even being tailed by the enemy's henchmen, the Lord says, my desire is to give you that Issachar anointing to also press in, well, there's my part to, you know, want to impart that to you. There's your part in to study. And the Lord says, I've given you this awesome memory and ability to retain things and to understand things, but I need the raw material there. And so as you study, not as a mental thing, but keeping in mind it will be by my spirit, a spiritual discernment that is neither a critical spirit nor is it a judgmental spirit, but this Issachar anointing is about being able to discern what the enemy's strategy is versus what my strategy is and who the players are on each side. And the Lord says, I'll give you that queenly anointing that's able to speak it forth, knowing that the orders came from the king, and that when two of us agree, it's as good as done. And it's like in the fifth dimension, it knows no restriction of time and space or geography or territory or anything, because my territory is the universe, as the Lord says. And as you learn to discern with me, with my discernment, the strategies that are going on, you'll see that you not only are a warrior, but it's like you're in on in the cabinet, of the leader, where you get to hear what the strategies are. And it's not a burden that you have to carry on your shoulders. It's not heavy, it's light. Because the queen just agrees with the king. And where two or more agree, it's done. So I'm just calling you in to press in for that training in my curriculum so that you will be able to receive all that I have for you. Amen?
Amen. Well, thank you for that word.
You're welcome. I don't know what it'll all mean, but it sounds pretty exciting.
Yes, I'm just trusting God to unfold it, and I will be listening, and I'm sure He will speak as loudly as He needs to through whatever. That's another inspiration of Paul. So I will be earnestly seeking, so I have no doubt.
Amen. And I want everybody that's listening to be encouraged, too, because many are anticipating opportunities this year and all. But God also has a curriculum of preparation to prepare each of us. And, you know, just ask God, what is your curriculum for me, and what's course 101? You know, where do I start? And He'll be faithful. He'll always be faithful to show us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, and I'm sure Paul could not have done his preparation different than ours or when he got his anointing, but certainly God gave him the training that he needed in the way he needed it, and I trust He will for each of us listening. So thank you.
And thank you, and have a marvelous night. Amen. I want to add to Patty's point there, because that was a very poignant point, too, that God, you know, He's even preparing us when we're not on His side, because Paul had some good points in his resume. As I said before, he was on God's side. He thought he was on God's side, but he wasn't. He was opposing God and God's plans and purposes, and he was opposing the true gospel and didn't know it. But, you know, when he picked Gamaliel and he went to Hebrew school, and when he got dual citizenship and all those things would be good for God's plans and purposes. All those things. And so don't think that the past is all wasted. When people say just forget the past, they're just distorting, you know, they don't understand what Paul is trying to say when he says leaving the past behind. I think Paul meant something like, once you've been forgiven, don't keep feeling guilty, don't keep confessing it, you know, receive your forgiveness and go on. But it doesn't mean that all your experience and wisdom that you gained in the past is useless and that you should have a lobotomy and forget it all. It doesn't mean that. The experiences that I had while I was in the wilderness, God has redeemed them, taken the pain out of them, and hopefully for the people that I heard as well. But God is using those. I met a lot of people with a lot of different personality styles and influences and, you know, problems and addictions and everything else that
I'm able to discern those demons by the whites of their eyes now. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying depend on natural knowledge and experiences, but we don't throw them all away either. We just lay all that on the altar and ask the Holy Spirit to work through us anyhow, anytime, anywhere, with anybody he wants. And it's just that surrender of everything that we are to him for his disposal. Hallelujah. Okay, we have a few more minutes, and I've got callers, but no one has pushed number one, and that might be because you've called in before. But you're welcome to go ahead and push number one and to make a comment, ask a question, or to receive prophetic prayer and ministry now. You're welcome to push that number one. I don't have anybody that has right now, so if you think you have, you didn't, and you can go ahead and push it now. Or call a friend to call in at 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. And one thing I'd like to hear from you all on, because I haven't finished writing what I was writing on this, is any other thing that you think is just the most awesome point that Paul made, you know, any impartation you got from reading any of his books or epistles or any revelation that came. Thank you, Lord. Okay. We thank you, Lord. We may be shutting down early tonight. That's only happened about twice since we began this program off and on since 2005. No other points to share, questions to ask? No one else wants prayer ministry? Wow. Okay, then. Father, we just thank you for people that gave their lives like Paul. We just thank you. And look forward to the day when we'll thank him. We just want to submit ourselves to you, Father, that you can do whatever you want with us, whatever you want. Whether you want us to abound or to be abased, whether you want us, you know, lifted up or hidden in obscurity, whether we'll be well-known or unknown, whether the training school is long or short, we just thank you for the few people that will understand our calling. For those that you'll bring along that will consider it an honor to invest in our vision and mission, we just praise you ahead of time. I thank you, Lord, that you do make our weak places strong. Amen. Amen. Okay, area code 410, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Prophet Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hello, Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
All right. What's God telling you?
I was listening to the program tonight, and I was just thinking about how Paul encouraged Timothy to stir up the gift of God that was on the inside of him. Mm-hmm. And just the importance of... I was listening to Apostle John Eckhart tonight as well, teaching from his prophetic school, and he was just talking about the importance of being around the prophetic. If you're, you know, in a church that is not prophetic and is not being taught, just going out and being around other prophetic people and allowing that gift to be stirred up and just really exercising it and just the importance. I know that I had been praying for mentors, and in my church we had a lot of people that were prophetic and we didn't know what to do except, you know, we'd go to whenever we knew that a prophetic conference was going on. you know, we'd go to a prophetic conference or we heard that there were prophets that were coming into the area, we'd go hear them. Many of us were prophetic intercessors, and so when Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets came into our region and during their 50-state tour, and they had come into Delaware before they had come into Maryland. So we traveled over into Delaware to hear what they had to say, and we were just amazed because we would hear the same things that they were sharing. We had heard them ourselves during our times of prayer, and I just think that, you know, it's just so important to have mentors, and I thank God for you, Prophet Carlotta. A friend of mine had introduced your ministry to me, and she was showing me your ministry on the computer. And we were just talking about, you know, basically that we needed to go ahead and get training because she's prophetic as well. And we were saying, yeah, we really need to really check out your ministry training school and go ahead and get the equipping and everything. And I've talked to her about Restoration Prayer Ministry because I had shared, you know, what God had done for me. And she said, yeah, Valerie, I really need to go to Restoration Prayer Ministry. And so she was the one that introduced me to your ministry. And I became friends with you, I guess, about a year after she had told me about your ministry. And I tell you, my life has not been the same. I had been so really stuck where I was, and I've just been really hungry for the prophetic. And I tell you, God has been healing me. He's been transforming me. And he's been changing me, and I know that I need to go ahead and officially enroll into training school. And I've been saying, okay, Lord, where's the time? Where am I going to have the time that I really need to study and to really do the work? Because I homeschool at home, and I do quite a few other things, and I'm so busy, and I'm just like, Lord, where do I find the time to really study and do what I need to do and get the training that I know that I need, because there is such demand for ministry and for just really training in ministering the restoration and the healing to the lives of men and women and children.
I'm glad you brought that up. I don't like to be an alarmist because I'm hoping, you know, that we can just continue to intercede and, you know, things that are prophesied in the book of Revelation and Daniel and all, that they won't happen right away. I know they're going to happen sooner or later, but I'm hoping that we can pray and, you know, the United States will experience, for instance, all countries, actually, a great awakening and a reformation, and
yes,
people will come to repentance, and we won't have to experience some of the things that are in Revelation anytime soon. However, mm-hmm, I do believe, whether it comes slowly or quickly, it's very important, and thank you for setting me up to say this, it's very important for everybody, if you don't have an active mentor that you're accountable to, and if you don't have a ministry training school to go with locally or anything, do not think that you're going to be able to just coast into what's coming in the future. We need to all be stronger and more prepared than we are, including myself. And so, you know, I wonder what people think. You know, why did I prepare all these messages? Well, I was seeking to be stronger myself. You know, I was willing, mm-hmm, to study to show myself approved. And yet, when it says study to show yourself approved, it doesn't really mean mentally. It doesn't even mean just study like you would study for a math test. You know, we need to be prepared, body, soul, and spirit. We just need to be more prepared. And so I want to encourage people, check it out. If you click join at nowfaith.tv,
We've got over 4 years if you just took one class a week. One class a week would be an hour of your time, plus printing out the handout and the prayer, pray the prayer with a partner, hopefully. And one more thing, you can attend an online distance learning school like this with somebody that lives across the country. You just both watch it on your computer at home. Then you can call each other on Skype or Uvu or the telephone and pray together. You both have the same handout, the same prayer. You don't have to be in the same room, so we just can't make it any easier than that. And you can have a prayer partner that you can keep, you know, forever and ever and ever. And you don't have to live in Maryland or Delaware. You can be far away. And the other thing I wanted to say, Valerie, is in case the listeners don't know, I probably have told you this somewhere, but it was actually a pastor near you, Apostle Prophet Dale Mass, that gave me permission to leave the past behind because I was stuck, or I was technically married, had been separated for a while, didn't know what to do with that when I had a call in my life that was pretty big, and here I am separated. So what's going to happen with that? And he prophesied to me, just asked my pastors, because it was being recorded, asked my pastors to love him because he was going to prophesy. He wasn't sure, you know, how it would apply. But he just prophesied that, God says that he's going to cause my husband to either get in or get out, the husband at that time, and that I would not be tied up in knots and nothing for the rest of my life. A brave prophecy. I mean, none of us want to prophesy divorce or anything like that, but it was a brave prophecy, and because he was that brave, he was right on the money, because that was my main concern. Here I'm getting all this training, and I've got all this, you know, all these things in place, but how can I really go forward if I'm stuck? In this separation, and within 30 days that came true, and there's some circumstances happened, and all of a sudden I was hearing that I was being set free, and I was able to receive it because I knew God was in it for me to be free rather than be stuck, and I didn't have to fight that. I could just let it happen. If he was suggesting divorce, I could let it happen and not fight it forever, which would, you know, it was a tough thing to walk through, and I just want to say for everybody out there that God is preparing you, and he's freeing you up. And as far as your schedule, but Valerie, that God will free you up. He'll give you that hour or two a week and the person. I believe he'll give you a person to pray the prayer with, too. I want everybody to know there's plenty more in Jesus. Don't ever think you've got all the preparation that you can have or that you'll ever need. There's always more. Always more. Thank you, Lord. The sheaves. The wheat is white unto harvest, Valerie. Your harvest has been multiplying and multiplying and multiplying, and it is so ready. So ready. I'm asking God why I'm seeing this picture. I'm just seeing that picture where Ruth is in there gleaning, and there's even a Boaz who is kind of quietly, secretly causing people to leave some so that her harvest is even greater. And while the enemy may try to magnify those that interfere with the harvest or are not supportive of it or are not mindful to listen to the Holy Spirit and to do their part, the Lord says, I have Naomi's for you, relationships that are just deep, 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 that will last forever. And I've got my Boazes that are people of influence that are able to cause your harvest to be even greater than you thought, to multiply it, to protect you.
Yes.
And while there may be others that appear to be first in line, they'll be your Boaz that I bring to the forefront. We're not talking husbands here, but we're talking in terms of the harvest.
Yes.
There'll be those people
that
you'll say, oh, God prepared this person all along.
Yes.
All along
yes.
to be part of this harvest. Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Thank you, God. Lord says, I've just about got everything ready.
Yeah.
I've been working in other people's hearts.
Yeah.
My hand is not short, nor is my timetable slow, but I'm just bringing it all together.
Yes.
And I'm giving you physical strength to be able to go and do.
Yes.
And more yes. confidence that you know the you know my voice.
Yes.
That you can receive the directions. You'll know whether to go to Asia or Macedonia, as Paul did. But you'll know
yes.
that you know.
Yes.
And there'll be the spiritual power and authority that you need to do it, and the respect and honor. And you'll be respected for your anointing.
Yes. Thank you, God.
Places where the enemy would want to cause you to doubt, but you will be respected for your anointing.
Yes.
And the Deborahs that will be raised up and awakened and brought to life, oh my, my, my.
Yes.
There are so many that are looking for fulfillment, think they
yes.
have to have a man to have it, or they
yes.
have to have the praise of men, position, or a microphone, but oh my. As you're faithful, the simplicity of the gospel will come through and people will begin to realize that their credentials are my calling and my anointing, says the Lord.
Yes.
So don't underestimate. If I can promote Joseph overnight from prison to prime minister, and Moses from the backside of the desert to being the deliverer.
Yes.
And David from being in a very lowly position of being a shepherd, a despised position practically, to being king. Don't underestimate.
Yes.
What I can do with someone that yielded it to me.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Wow.
Yes.
I hope everyone's encouraged by that.
Yes. Thank you, God.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for calling. Wow.
Thank you. Yes. Wow. Yes, I had received the word as well concerning the Lord expanding my territory. yeah, like you're getting, God wants to expand my territory and he wants to bring me from the back to the forefront because he needs.
Yeah, there's new devils on new levels, but it's a good thing.
Yeah, yes.
Good thing.
Amen.
Greater is he that's in you.
Yeah.
There's always big exams before promotion. It's a normal thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your intercession.
Thank you so much, Prophet Carlotta, for being a mentor and someone there to answer our questions and to learn an answer to prayer.
Thank you. It's amazing, you know, it's mind-boggling to think that we're going to be sisters forever and ever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
We'll rule and reign with him 1,000 years, the Bible says. And that's just
yes.
the first stage, or the second stage. There's more. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Have a good night. And who knows, maybe even one of those boys will want to watch with you. You never know. I mean, that would be a miracle for a boy, but
yeah.
Never know. You'll find your partner.
Yes. Amen. Well, my oldest son, a boy early on with our homeschooling, boy, I would watch him pray while I was teaching him to pray, and he would just, I just taught him to pray for simple things, and God would just provide it for him. And I said, wow, I have to pray with him more often.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, let me see if I can do one more before they cut me off here. Have a good night.
You too. Good night.
Good night. Area code, all it says is 111. I don't know if this is a credit card call or out of the country.
Hi, this is Noel from California. I was wondering if I could receive prayer tonight.
Okay, we'll see if we can get this in 2-3 minutes. For those that call in, 917-388-4683, you'll be able to hear the last part of the program. If you're only listening by computer, you might get cut off. I'm just letting you know. Call in if you want to hear it to the very end, or you can catch it in the archives later. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for Noel. I just thank you, Lord. Noel, I just see a tree, and I don't know the name of it. It's one of these trees that's got little berries on it this time of year, at least here in South Georgia, like holly berries or something, but it's a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see the Lord saying that don't worry about picking the dead leaves off the tree. The dead leaves fall off as you focus on me. And the new growth, it's not yet visible, it's coming out this spring, has pushed most of the dead leaves off. The winter fruit is already there, and it's the new growth that pushes the old off. So just focus on me. And I've been taking you through these stages where the young man is so happy just to be saved and have Christ in him, and that's good. I mean, the children. And the young man is learning warfare and how to overcome and battle the enemy. But I'm bringing you to that stage of knowing what it is to be a father in the faith who can rest in me and can focus on, you can focus on Christ in you and be a worshiping warrior, so to speak. Through that worship and that focus, most of your battles will be won. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. There'll still be some out-and-out warfare, but the majority of your focus will just be on Christ in you, your hope of glory, letting Christ live through you. And as you worship me, even dance before me, sing my praises, affirm who I am, most of your battles will be won already. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that.
Can you relate to that at all?
Yes. That's what God has basically been saying this beginning of this year, is just to focus on him and to identify not so much myself but who I am in him. So it's just all confirmation. Thank you so very much.
Yeah. That may have sounded short and simple to some people, but it's actually, I would say, the thrust of Paul's whole message, and it's the thrust of mine now. You know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that in Christ we already have it all. We really are complete already. Our only problem is that we don't believe it yet. We really are strong in him. He has all spiritual power and authority in heaven and earth, and he's inside us. So let's just all go, come together tonight. Turn our eyes on Jesus. But that's a Jesus that's inside. I just want to come against any spirit to say that Jesus is way off somewhere else, or that you've got to beg him to show up. If you're a believer and born again, his desire is to be one spirit with you. That's his prayer in John 17. And we just receive it. We turn our eyes on Jesus, to Jesus Christ that's inside us.
Together. Thank you.